Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, March 6th, 2026, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in There is a Solution on page 23. We're on the second full paragraph, beginning with, once in a while he may tell the truth, ending with, but they often suspect they are down for the count. We are reading and commenting on that one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Jane D. reading the 12 steps, Mary Frances W. reading the 12 traditions, Robin B. will be reading the text, Janice P.M. will be reading page 164, and Vanessa G. is our backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Ann S.C.H., and announcements will be Jody E. The reference ID number for yesterday, Thursday, March 5th, 2026, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 23,262 or 23262. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,264 or 23264. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Jane D. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Hey, Jane, good morning. Can you press star one to unmute, please?
Okay, good morning. I'm sorry about that. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Well, thank you so much, Jane D. I will now ask Mary Frances W. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Hey, Mary Frances.
Hey, Stephanie. This is Mary Frances W., grateful compulsive overeater from Pennsylvania, and here are the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Mary Frances W. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press *1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press *1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in There is a Solution. We are on page 23, the second full paragraph, beginning with, once in a while, he may tell the truth, ending with, but they often suspect they are down for the count. And we're reading and commenting on that one paragraph this morning. I will now ask Robin B. to please begin reading. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thank you so much. This is Robin B. in Ohio, living in recovery one day at a time. Once in a while, he may tell the truth, and the truth, strange to say, is usually that he has no more idea while he took that first drink than you have. Some drinkers have excuses with which they are satisfied part of the time, but in their hearts, they really do not know why they do it. Once this malady has a real hold, they are a baffled lot. There is the obsession that somehow, someday, they will beat the game. But they often suspect they are down for the count. And when I read this paragraph, it takes me back, right? My memory takes me back to when I was in the clutches of this disease. I knew that I had a problem, that I couldn't stop. And I didn't understand. Every day I would get up, plan my food. I knew what I was going to have. The day would start out okay, and then something would always happen, or I couldn't be satisfied, and I was seeking satisfaction, and I would always turn to the food, and the next thing I knew, I was off on a bender. And then, you know, in my heart of hearts, I didn't know why, I didn't understand. And getting up and doing the same thing every day and expecting different results, that was insane. That was the, you know, and that is the insanity of the disease. And I say that in the present tense because the disease still very much exists inside of me, inside of my brain, and that I have to work every single step, every single day, so that I stay close to my higher power, that I stay connected to him, because I need him. I have to have my higher power in my life directing me, because I don't want to go back to this insanity of that I had been living in. And I have to, you know, I had to come to terms with, I will never beat this disease. That is not within me to do that. I can only do it through the strength that I get from my higher power. That's the only way that I can survive. Through my weakness, my higher power strengthens me. And that is why I am so thankful and grateful for being able to be in this program, that the honesty it gives me that I need to have every day to live in reality, live in society, and to stay close and connected to my higher power. So I thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Robin B. That was perfect timing. We're now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. If you shared on Wednesday or Thursday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow time for as many people as possible to share too. I will remind you when your time is up. If you would like to share, please give us your first name, last initial, and please let us know where you're calling from so people can find you on the member list. So who would like to share?
Lynn G., South Carolina.
I think I heard Diane. Letty G. Is that, did I hear Letty G.?
Susan G.
Oh, Susan. Hi, Susan. Susan
G. Hi.
Gotcha.
Wendy M.
I heard Wendy M.
Elena C.
Hey, Elena, got you. And Elena, where are you calling from? Elena, where are you calling from?
Oh, South Carolina.
Gotcha. Okay.
Veronica B.
Veronica B. And where are you calling from, Veronica? Veronica, where are you calling from?
Los Angeles.
Okay, gotcha.
Diane MC.
I got Diane MC from?
Chicago,
gotcha.
Mary Frances W. from Pennsylvania.
Got you, Mary Frances W.
Janice PM from Massachusetts.
Got you, Janice.
Thank you.
Well, let me tell you who I've got so I can make sure I didn't miss anyone. I've got Susan G., Wendy M., Elena C., Veronica B., Diane MC, Mary Frances W., and Janice PM. Did I miss anyone? Okay, we'll go with that group to start. So we're going to start with Susan G., followed by Wendy M. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thank you so much. And thank you to Team Friday for the month of March. Gosh, once in a while, I used to tell the truth. Well, once in a while could be a very, very long gap. And when I look at page 22, the paragraph corresponding across, why did I behave like this? I was baffled every single day by what was going on, and yet I couldn't really lie to you that you would believe me, because I have a body that shows. So you would know if I was eating or I wasn't, and you'd often blink and think, oh my gosh, how did she get back here? And I had no idea why I took that first bite. I always got tight at the wrong times. And some drinkers have excuses with which they are satisfied part of the time. And that was always pointing my finger at everybody else. And if you had this, and if your mom had that, and if you da-da-da-da-da-da. And the song went on, and the repeated chorus of poor me, poor me. And I was very, very baffled. And yes, there was a massive obsession that somehow, someday, I will beat this and not have to join this Overeaters Anonymous club. And once I came to my first meeting for 16 years, I battled hard. I battled hard. I looked high and low for the solution. But every time that I was down in the dumps, I came back to you. And it took 16 years for me to know that I was down for the count. I didn't know I wasn't giving up. Basically, it wasn't me. It was that God wasn't giving up on me. God didn't give up on me and kept giving me these shoves. Go back to that Sunday morning meeting. Go here. Go to Serenity Sunday. Go to Focus on Permanent Recovery. It was 200 meetings a week in Los Angeles at the time. So I always had somewhere to go. And today in my heart, I know why I did it. I know I would have no power to stop if I went back to doing it. So for today, I've made that decision to stay stopped. So if you are suffering, if you aren't telling the truth, that's okay. We all lied. We all lied when we came here. And if you think you didn't, that's okay for you. I believe we all did. And have a smashing weekend. And thank you, Stephanie.
Well, thank you so much, Susan G. from California. Next, we've got Wendy M., followed by Elena C. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thank you for your service and everyone on the line. And thank you, God, for this divinely inspired book. Just the first is once in a while truth. Well, here's the deal. I have to lie to get the hit, right? And as an addict, I've been lying my whole life because I always want to get the hit. And the greatest lie is that I'm disconnected from God. The reason I ache isn't just because I'm lying about the food. I ache because I'm disconnected from my maker, right? We're all on this call because we want to come home to our maker, come home to our true self, right? That self that knows that every day I get to be useful to another human being. That's what we get. And how do I lie? Okay. In the last year, measuring my fruit at night in my head. Measuring it in my head. This is the insanity. This whole paragraph is about the insanity of our thinking, right? Or better yet, like, I'm in Hawaii and, you know, I look pretty good, so I don't really have to measure or ask the wait staff if there's any sugar in the dressing. I'm good to go. Or earlier in my career, doing the dishes Thanksgiving, taking pieces of apple from the apple pie and calling it fruit when I called it into my sponsor, you know, or putting anything in a salad bowl. I'm telling you, anything, but calling it salad because it's in the bowl. I will make any excuse to lie because I must get the hit. Until I don't have to get the hit anymore. I don't have to get the hit from food anymore. I don't. I have conscious contact with my creator, and at any moment, I can plug into that creator and say, you do this, not me. You know, and it says, I love this part, like, you know, we often suspected we were down for the count. This is not rocket science. I know when I'm lying. I was talking to a sponsor yesterday, and she's like, could I do this or could I do that? And I said, ask your HP. And in a nanosecond, she heard her HP say, this is what's going to be peaceful calm. You don't need to get the hit anymore. And, you know, Jim says, I vaguely sensed I was not being any too smart. We vaguely sense. I know exactly when I'm lying now. That's the brilliance of the program. We work the 12 steps, excuse me. You know, and then we're going to beat the game, right? I can chase this thing down. I can control it. Well, I can't. I'm up against Wendy. I'm up against myself. And thank you, God, I'm up against myself. And thank you, God, that I wake up in the morning and God says, go be useful, young lady. Go be useful, right? that we get to be useful. Oh my God. We don't have to do this nonsense in our head, this bullshit thinking of lying and lying and lying to cheat, to chase, to win a game that's not winnable. The only game that's winnable is God. That is the only game in town. And I'm so grateful to be connected. And when I'm not, when I'm in fear, guess what I do? Here, God, take it. I can't do anything with fear, but I can give it to God. And it seems to be that the minute I give it to God, God takes it. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much. Wendy M. from Colorado. Next, we've got Elena C., followed by Veronica B. Good morning, Elena.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your service, moderator. My name is Elena C. from South Carolina. Recover for today. And I like this paragraph because it reiterates and validates for me how clueless I was in the midst of my addiction, why I'm doing what I'm doing, what I was doing, what I was doing, right? I thought that I thought that like I just cannot eat everything, but the solution to this is to go to the vegan diet, to go to the raw food diet, to go to Barrier's diet, to go to God knows what diet, you know, and still it has not resolved the problem of binging. Because in all these diets, there was sugar, there were my triggering foods. And I just, it was a lot of suffering and despair that I have had because I had no idea why this is happening to me. I remember that I Googled sugar addiction and it was on the internet. It was clear. It said there that many people have sugar addiction and it's true. And, you know, and I I remember I showed it to my ex-husband and I said, look, it's a sugar addiction. And he said, yeah. And then that's all it was at that time. And then I just kind of brushed it off and then go to another diet. Now, until I was able to read doctor's opinion and understand the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind, it's a twofold disease, twofold condition. Then it became clear that it's not my fault. Addiction is not a choice. I did not choose to have the sugar addiction. Once I get in my body that triggering food, I don't choose to binge. It's just, that's just what my body does. And, you know, I am grateful that I have this community. I have this book to explain to me what's going on in my body. I believe the liver is different in addiction, but maybe not. This is just what I believe. and there's another organ that is at fault with addiction. And you know, I will always be
Elena,
different.
That's time.
Yeah, I will always be different. I can become the same with God of my understanding and without triggering foods in my diet and with that upheaval things.
Thank you so much, Elena C. from South Carolina. Next, we have Veronica B., followed by Diane M.C. Good morning, Veronica.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I'm Veronica, recovered for today, living in Los Angeles. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that I get to live a different way of life. And immediately when I read, you know, sometimes we're honest. Here and there we're honest. I don't have the book in front of me. But, you know, honesty, that's what pierced my heart. I was so dishonest. My whole life, I was such a phony. You know, I had two lives. I had my, you know, regular life, and then I had my eating and throwing up life, you know, because for me, it had become a way of life to eat and throw up. this was my solution for 15 years. I discovered it when I was like 15 years old, that I could eat anything I wanted and get rid of it. Okay. And that was my solution for many, many years. And let me tell you, it was exhausting living that way. Exhausting. I was always sneaking around. I could never be myself. You know, I could never let others in. In my marriage, I was sneaking around with my family. It was such a hard way to live until I came to Overeaters Anonymous in 2009. And I've been here ever since. And, you know, the only one perfect thing I've done is I've never left. I have never left. And another perfect thing I've always done is I've always had a sponsor. You know, I've always had a sponsor in Overeaters Anonymous. I'm the kind of person that needs accountability. I need somebody else, you know, that God speaks to me through them, you know, and I've never left. And this thing about being honest, you know, it's my innermost self where I had to be honest that I had this disease and that, you know, I'll never be a normal eater. Like, I had to get honest about my foods, you know, my behavior, and that everything stems around honesty for me in the day. How am I living today? You know, how am I demonstrating these principles in my everyday living? And, you know, that way I could just continue to let God in, just continue to let God do his work, right? So anyways, I'm so grateful for this program, and everyone have a great weekend. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Veronica B. from California. Next, we've got Diane M.C., followed by Mary Frances W. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning. Let's see. So as I read this paragraph, I'm reminded of when I was in the midst of my disease, the malady of it. Thing is, for decades, I didn't even know I was. I was working the program as I thought fit and as I wanted to. I'd given up a lot of foods, but I was slipping and sliding. So I didn't even know I was still in the throes of the disease. But that first sentence, once in a while, he may tell the truth. You know, every once in a while during those slipping and sliding decades in the program of OA, I know it was God speaking and saying, perhaps it's the stevia that's still in your diet. Perhaps it's the honey, the unsweetened stuff. And I held on. I would not surrender it for the longest time, thinking, I've done enough. I've given up enough. You know, I just had a real pissy attitude. I'm holding on. And then eventually I did get to that point of surrender. And I thought, okay, I'll give it up as an experiment. And it turned out to be that was what was continually triggering me to fall off the wagon. That was really it. You know, I was white-knuckling it. And then I would go off and then back on. That was my lot in life in OA and the people I surrounded myself with. Well, you can't be 100% abstinent in this program. We've got to take food in. You know, those are the people I surrounded myself with. So it's been for me quite a journey, a long one. But I'm so grateful that finally I was able just to surrender entirely. And today, I still have to be mindful, like in the previous paragraph, that, you know, the problem is really in my mind. And so that's why I have to continually work the program, do a 10th step, give it away, be honest, talk to others, because that's where it could start again, in my mind, of holding on to a resentment, not making an amends. Just selfishness. So today I have a solution, and I'm just so grateful for neutrality around the food. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Diane M.C. from Chicago, Illinois. Before we take our next share, I do want to remind you guys where we are in case you
joined us a little late. We are in There Is a Solution on page 23, second full paragraph, beginning with, once in a while he may tell the truth, ending with, but they often suspect they are down for the count. And we read that paragraph, and that's what we are sharing on this morning. So next up, we've got Mary Frances W, followed by Janice P.M. Morning, Mary Frances W.
Hi, Stephanie. Yes, this is Mary Frances, living in recovery one day at a time here in Pennsylvania. I am so blessed by this meeting and so grateful to be a part of this fellowship. And I came back in November, and it's the first time in many, many years that I did surrender and am willing not to let the red foods pass my lips. And that's all because of God. It's because of the people that I've met in this meeting. And the biggest hurdle for me, which I never would have believed it about myself, is the dishonesty. And it wasn't just about the food. It was about me and who I am and not being good enough. If you see who I really am, like, you won't like me, or you'll reject me, or whatever the story I told myself was. And I, too, felt like I was a phony. And, you know, there are things that have come back to me in the past few months that, for example, when I was in high school, a long, long time ago, you would hear the word two-faced. She's two-faced, he's whatever. I never thought I was two-faced. That's exactly what I was. You know, I wore this mask for this person, that mask for that person, and I was never myself. And I'm just so grateful for the opportunity to let that guard down. And I can feel it when I'm, like, holding back and not wanting to be honest, because that fear creeps in. But to be able to let that guard down and let you in and see me, who I am, and recover. Like, this is such a huge thing. I just can't explain what this has meant to me these past few months. And I am just so grateful for the meeting. I'm grateful for all the people who give service. I'm grateful for the newcomers that come and for the sponsors that willingly give their names and this book and my God. And I don't want to sound like a Pollyanna, but that's how I'm feeling. I just am just so in awe of the miracles. And, you know, I looked at this paragraph and I talked about honesty, but also the excuses and, you know, for not going somewhere. I have a headache. I'm not feeling well. You know, whatever. And you wonder why after a while people stop inviting you, you know? So anyway, I am just so grateful today to be here and to be with all of you. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Mary Frances W. from Pennsylvania. Next, you've got Janice P.M. Hey there, Janice.
Hey there, Stephanie. Thank you for that lovely invitation and moderating your services. My name is Janice P.M. and I live in Massachusetts. This, you know, this paragraph teaches me and explains my experience for a long, long time. You know, the title of the chapter is There Is a Solution. And I'm just talking from my experience. My solution, honest to God, and I don't say this lightly, was always me, myself, and I. I always thought that because I was so seemingly hopeless of my body and my mind, and then I got to learn my spiritual values were lost, I thought it was me. And I was always trying and trying to find a solution. But the more I tried and thought that I knew, I was baffled. I was confused. Yeah, it worked for a certain amount of time, very shortly. Okay, they tell you to do this because you have a physical craving to certain foods. So I could kind of get that. But, that, you know, when I did stop temporarily, but I always went back. And I was baffled by that. Why? And, of course, it says here, too, I'm going back and forth to the truth. And, you know, that was the truth. I didn't know why. When I say I didn't know why and you didn't know why, well, that was the truth, right? Because, see, I was so frustrated. I was so defeated, you know, with the understanding why I stopped and couldn't go back again. Well, of course, now they tell me I have a mental illness. Oh, no, not me. I don't have anything wrong with my mind. I'm a good thinker, you know. Well, that's the illness. That's the illness. That's the second part of my illness that I didn't want to have, a mental illness, because I can discover what to do and tell you what to do. I can find a way to fix, manage, and control my eating and my behaviors. But it took a long time, this book and you people, to find my solution that's through these 12 steps and through you people, your stories, and of course, to find the solution finally, that it is a power greater than myself, whom I choose to call God. I thought it was willpower. God, please, please give me more willpower and then I can do this, you know. No, it was because I was desperate. I understood cravings. I understood that.
Janice, that's time.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I'm going to pass because that's time. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Janice PM from Massachusetts. Let's see. We're going to open it up for some more shares. If you haven't shared on Wednesday or Thursday on any vision meeting, you know, please let us know if you want to share today. Let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Julie B., Oregon. Liz K.
I'm L. Got from
you,
California.
Julie B. from Oregon.
Colleen L.
L. Got you, Colleen L. And Colleen, where are you calling from?
New York.
I thought I recognized your voice. There you go.
From Iowa.
J, is that F as in Frank?
No, K S as in Iowa.
Okay. K F from Iowa.
Liz K.
Beth F. from California.
You guys, I think that 4 will take us to the end. So we'll stop there. I've got Julie B., Tom L., Colleen L., and KF. We're going to start with Julie B., followed by Tom L. Good morning, Julie.
Hi, thank you so much. This is Julie B. from Oregon. Oh, man, what a great day to be at this meeting. I'm so happy. The reading is great and the shares are great, but what I'm hearing from all of you guys is something that I really needed to hear today, which is about honesty. And dishonesty and lies and excuses and rationalization and all those things we do, the bargaining, you know, when we're still fighting this. The share that mentioned, you know, if it's in a salad bowl, it's a salad and it doesn't count. I mean, yeah, I'll just add a big handful of pecans on top of my salad, but it's a salad, like, or, I'll grab a piece of apple out of that apple pie and call it fruit. Like, that is me. I'm still dancing around my food plan. I'm still pushing the boundaries. I'm still making little excuses. And I know, who am I lying to? I'm lying to myself. Who lies to themselves? That's a bad habit. And I'm lying to my higher power, you know? And I've been dishonest with my sponsors and different people. One of my big problems before program was Starbucks. You know, I'm a Pacific Northwest girl, and you know, I was to the point where I was having two enormous mochas every day, and I had to have them, had to have them. My car had to go there. If I was out of town, I'd get on the phone and I'd find it. And lately I've been convincing myself that, well, if I just have a sugar-free one, that's okay. That's still abstinent. And I've even been calling them like medicinal latte. Oh, I just need a medicinal latte. I have a little headache. And if I have this latte, my headache will go away. So it's kind of like taking an aspirin, right? Well, the reason I have that headache is because I'm in withdrawal from the last one that I had. I just appreciate you guys so much for reminding me that honesty is the answer. This program demands rigorous honesty, and I thank you all so much. I'm so grateful for what I've learned from everybody, and I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Julie B. from Oregon. Glad you're here. Next, we've got Tom L., followed by Colleen L. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Stephanie. Tom L., also in California. Glad to be here this morning. I woke up at a usual time. I have my breakfast in front of me. It's what I've been eating for 4.5 years. It's amazingly delicious. This is not how I ate breakfast most of my overeating career. When I was dieting, and this is the thing about this disease, it doesn't start off as hopeless out of control. It goes, you'll eat today. Tomorrow, you'll get back on the border wagon. And I remember those mornings where I'd wake up, I'd look in the book of the pay and weigh, and, I can have this slice of this and a smear of that, and there it is. There's my breakfast. Oh, my God. And I have to eat it and stop and then look in the book again to find out the next legal meal. That was the good times, was when I was on the diet. And then, of course, I'd weigh obsessively. You know, did I lose a pound this week? I lose 10 pounds, 10 pounds, after 10 pounds. I mean, if I'm a young man, I can lose 10 pounds a week and do that week after week after week, going slowly crazy because it's very painful not to breathe. And that's what it feels like. If I'm dieting, I'm not breathing. And I'd lose the weight. And then the heartbreak of this disease is, you're going to have a cheat day, a cheat week, a cheat month. Near the end, I was eating around the clock, imagining, eventually I'll get that feeling back again. The feeling that I can go through a couple months of hell and lose the weight, get a job. But that day never came. And it got worse and worse. And I figured, I guess I must enjoy this kind of life where I'm not leaving the house. I'm living on charity, disappointing my parents. I guess I want to do this. Then I'd come up with reasons why I'd want to do this. But it was miserable. Through a miracle, I found Overeaters Anonymous. Through a miracle, I found Vision for You. The shares this morning, they should record this stuff. It shouldn't just disappear. they do record it. Anyway, I'm glad to be here, glad to be sane this morning with the help of my higher power and an enormous amount of assistance from the fellowship. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Tom L. from California and also from downstairs. All right, next we've got Colleen L. and Kay, I'm not sure if we're going to have time, but we're going to try. So, Colleen, you're up next. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Colleen L. from Long Island, New York, and just wanted to get my hand up and take the actions that keep me abstinent. So some of the things that stuck out in this paragraph, usually that he has no more idea why he took that first drink than you have. They really do not know why they do it. Baffle a lot, down for the count. These are the things that had to happen for me, the total demoralization, confusion, commitment to stopping, and then just having no control. These are the things that had to happen for me to really get onto my knees, get down on my knees in desperation to be able to take steps 1, 2, and 3. And the confusion of the discord between, you know, having every intention to stop and over and over, just having no control over it. These these things in the beginning are confusion, but in retrospect, what a gift. What a gift, because I don't think without getting slammed over and over again that I would have been able to have the humility and push my ego aside to really say that I have a problem, that I am powerless over food. So I'm going to end my share with that, and hopefully we have time for the next person. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Colleen L. from New York, and we do. Thanks for giving up a little bit of time there, Colleen. Kay, you're next. Good morning.
Kay, oh, sorry, this is K.S. as in Serenity from Iowa, and I just want to say that word I've got underlined three times. They are baffled a lot, and I think when I'm into the allergy of the food, when I'm the body and then the obsession of the mind, that's what it feels like. And when I get into my program and my food plan is sort of my soft place to sort of know this is the boundaries of my day, and then I don't have to even think about it anymore, that way to measure food. And then that feels like some of you aren't old enough to know this, but the iced tea plunge, the guy used to just fall back into the water, and that's what surrender feels like me. For me, it's like, okay, release all of the stuff, because anything that's rationalization or justification away from your food plan is just busy, loud, chaotic talk, and it's the disease talking. And so it's like letting go of all of that craziness once I accept that that's what it is, that being baffled a lot is not for me to figure out. I will be baffled if I'm in the disease. If I can just fall back into this swimming pool like the iced tea plunge thing was, it's like then you just let all that go and your raft will be there, and it's your food plan, and it's simple and it's direct and it's honest. And anyway, that's all I got. And thank you so much for your service, Stephanie, and everybody that shared. I agree. Great meeting. I look forward to listening to it again maybe on my walk later today. Thanks very much.
Well, thank you so much. KS is in Serenity from Iowa. And oh my gosh, you guys, we can do a 1 minute. Does anyone have a burning desire who would like to share for 1 minute?
Beth F., California.
Go for it. Go for it. Oh, you got it.
Is that me? I'm sorry.
Yes, that's Beth. You. Go for
okay,
it.
Okay, thank you so much, Beth F., compulsive overeater, and I'm in California. And what a great meeting. I wanted to press star one right in the beginning and just say, you know, get real, get honest. Like, I am baffled, you know, and I just am holding on to the obsession that someday I'm going to beat the game. Someday, you know, 30 something years in and out of OA. And I'm just not leaving, but I'm in relapse right now and it's painful. And what I need to hear is acceptance, because I was like screaming and crying 2 days ago. I cannot accept that I have this disease because I don't want to have it, but I do. I'm a pickle. I used to be a cucumber. I'm not anymore. I'm never going to not be a pickle, and I cannot go back. I am this, and I just want to get to the place of accepting it and surrendering to it. It's the better, easier, softer way. But I don't know that I'm there yet, but I'm getting there. Thank you for letting me share. And thank you for being here. What a great meeting.
Well, thank you so much, Beth F. from California. What a great way to close us out. So we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Janice P.M., can you please read A Vision for You? Janice PM, can you hit star one to unmute, please? Do we have Janice PM?
I am here now. Oh. I'm terribly sorry. Talking away to my son like I'm in a... Hold on, I'll get that page. And it is, our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something that you haven't got.
see to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Pat.